You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Juravicius in the Dog Bowl. We see Wilbert Montgomery walking the newest member of the Cleveland Browns right now through the halls. Kiro Small, the fullback, Biggie Small, is getting ready to go out there and lay the wood on some people, paving the way for the Browns running game here. Hey, Browns fans, don't forget, this week only, get to the stadium early this Sunday because the first 25,000 fans will get a free Dog Pound rally towel and get a sneak peek at what's coming from Ford, the all-new 2015 F-150 and 2015 Mustang. Kevin in a car, bail me out, bro. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing all right.
Listen, what did everybody expect in the beginning of the year? The Browns, at best, are a 500 club. I mean, at the best, what are they now?
500.
500. I don't think you're going to expect much more than that. Maybe six wins. I
think you can expect more than six wins. But I think part of the fun of being a fan is getting caught up. And you looked at it and you said, okay, they could go 5-0 here. Run five straight games off. I always thought all along I would be thrilled with 4-1. That's still on the table for this team with two games at home. But that's part of the fun is getting fired up about that.
It definitely is. And I mean, and for him to call and say that after this loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the reason why is because, Sports Illustrated or somebody picked the Browns to go 1-15, right?
Yes. Okay. Wrong. They were erroneous.
Okay, they're erroneous, right? But if someone picked us to win three games or five football games, would or would not the Jacksonville Jaguars be one of those wins?
Yeah, the Browns had an opportunity to be favored five straight weeks and win them all.
That's the point that I'm trying to make is it's like, again, don't say, hey, they're a 500 football team. We played down to the level of the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday, and so many facets of the Cleveland Browns football team, coaching and the players, were not firing on all cylinders. We couldn't run. Inaccurate throws, some questionable coaching decisions throughout the game. You know, a defense that gave up, a meaningless 127 yards on the ground, but otherwise not a great performance. But it's just hard for me to think that a caller's going to come and go, they are who we thought they are. They're a 500 football team. We should beat the Jacksonville Jaguars every time we play them.
We stubbed our toe. We didn't break our toe.
That's right.
You know, and Gerard has said it, he said it best. Listen, show the film. Make yourself sick about it. Because we're going to find out, we found out last week that we stubbed our toe. That's it. The moral of the story is what these guys do in preparation for next Sunday's game is going to tell us the true character of this team. And I just don't buy that these guys are going to be like, it's Oakland Raiders. I don't buy any of that. These guys,
especially not at First Energy Stadium either.
And Gerard's right, man. Show these guys the film today, maybe hit them with something on Wednesday, just so that's in their mouth. Because if these guys are fighters, then we're going to find out on Sunday that Oakland's going to get their rear ends kicked.
No question about it. And this is a learning experience for this team. And it's something that hopefully they can grow from. Watch the tape. Clean up the details. That's what everybody keeps talking about, the little things. Play like the Browns that we've seen them play in games past and go out and win this game on Sunday. They'll be back to 4-3 with a winnable home game again. And if you win that one, you're 5-3. But you got to take one at a time. As we said, when everybody's saying, oh, man, they're going to be 6-2. You have to win the game in Jacksonville. It's a prerequisite to getting to 6-2. Now you've lost it. Now the best you can do at the end of this little stretch is 5-3. But you have to get there by getting to 4-3 before you get to 5-3 against the and you have to do that with a win over the Oakland Raiders.
You do. And again, you have to be confident as a professional football player that you're coming home for two in a row. You know, I've always, again, Marty Schottenheimer talked about it. I've said it before. You know, you in some cases want to go undefeated at home, you know, and defend your home turf and split on the road, okay? So we lost another game on the road, a one that we should have won. So what does that mean in my mind? If I'm a player and I'm thinking about optimism, I'm thinking about getting back on track, is not only focusing on the Oakland Raiders, what does it mean? It means we need to exceed expectations against an opponent later in the season and win one back.
Steal one back, absolutely. The Browns will have to go on the road. They've got beatable, I think, Atlanta right now struggling. You can look Cincinnati struggling right now. There are important games that this team needs to win. You need to steal one back, as you just said. All right, time to hand out our game balls. Three game balls each here. If you think there are three people worthy, Joe, I'll start with you. Who would get your three game balls for the Browns in this game against the Jags?
Because I know this is how it is inside the NFL locker room, nobody's getting a game ball because nobody would accept them. listen, defensively, there's two obvious guys, Gibson and Buster. Those guys played well. Other than that, I don't know if anybody would accept a game ball. It was a really tough game. I think what they got, the game ball that they're getting, is a notebook and a pen, and they're in there right now.
An iPad. Take
copious notes.
There you go.
Copious notes.
Matt, well, are you going to go along with the theory of a game ball?
I will appease you, Nathan.
Thank you.
And come up with three. I'm going to give one again, to Sean Gibson. I think, again, he is playing great. I think he probably is leading or tied for the lead or just behind Richard Sherman for the top player in the last two seasons with interceptions. He continues to perform extremely well, and I talk about it as you could tell he's watching film, and you can tell he's improving because you're in those positions to get those tip balls, or you're in those positions and you make those plays. That could have been an easily catch tackle on that slant, but he said, you know what, I'm all in. I'm going to step right in front of it because I know he's going to throw it to me.
And he was prepared. He knew what the routes could be from that formation. He recognized it, jumped it, and got the interception there. The other one, great play by Jabal Sheard to set up, but he was in the right place.
Exactly, absolutely. And I'm going to go with, again, Justin Gilbert, because I think this young player needs as much confidence as we can throw on him. Whether he pays attention to this show or not, I don't know. I really don't care. But Justin Gilbert played his best football game. His body of work had, you know, significantly grew from 1 week to the next. He did not disappoint. And I'm going to give it to Andrew Hawkins just because, again, a 100-yard-plus performance. I think, yes, he did have some drops. He, of course, will be the first to admit that. But I thought the fact that you took what, and Brian talked about it in the postgame, what is like a 6-yard route for 65 yards, you know, was not what we thought or what he dialed up, but he made a play. You know, he made a play, and it could have been, if we'd have taken advantage of things thereafter, a game-changing type of play for us.
You guys both covered Tashawn Gibson, and I think that would be an obvious one. And then I thought Buster Skrine also with his interception, you could give him a game ball. I'm going to go, and Carlos Dansby, I thought, also played a very good game for this defense. I'm going to go through three guys who caught my eye, who I think are on the verge of really stepping up. And two of them, one of them is kind of in his role, so he can only do what he can do. But two of them, young guys who I think really can step up. The first, Justin Gilbert, played his best game there. They tried to bring a lot of the same looks at him that were brought by Pittsburgh when he blew coverages. Some of those stack formations when he's got to read outside, inside, have that good communication with Buster Skrine. And he did that exceptionally well. Only one miscue, I thought, on the whole day. He played more physical. He was not afraid to stick his nose in there on the blitz. He made a couple tackles on the edge. I thought he was just more decisive, more aggressive, more physical, stayed with some double moves. Just looked calmer to me. He was under control, which I thought was very important. The other would be Chris Kirksey. Ended up leading this team in tackles, and I think as his season goes on, he's going to continue to play a bigger and bigger role. Had a nice sack, also good in coverage. I thought Kirksey played a good game. And the final one is Marlon Moore. Watching Marlon Moore from the sidelines is fun. He gives you 110%. Tommy Lasorda would say only 100% possible, but he gives you everything he's got every time he's on the field. And he gets fired up to go down there, be the gunner, make coverage tackles, and do anything he can to help this team. And I think if you had a lot of Marlon Moores in your locker room, you would be in good shape in that regard with the effort he brings. So I'm going to give that to him because I thought his effort stood out to me in that game.
I feel bad that I didn't give you game balls. But I'm telling you, nobody.
But
wants
you're not
a game
doing
ball.
It.
No, I'm not.
They don't want it.
I'm sticking with it.
You're sticking with it.
But you know, let's go back to Justin.
A tough
Gilbert.
Love from Joe.
Tough love, man. Come on, we're from Cleveland. But so here's the deal. Justin Gilbert played a great game, and I don't care whether he did play a rookie quarterback, a couple rookie receivers, and a young running back. Whatever
he looked
it takes,
different.
Whatever it takes to start to build the confidence.
Yep.
Is all it's going to take, and that maybe this is what's going to jumpstart him. I think he did play his best game as a Cleveland Brown. I think that we are going to have, again, it's confidence. Short memories. He had a short memory, came back, played strong. Now let's hope he retains what he did.
Let's certainly hope he does. When we get going again tomorrow, we got to wrap things up here. The Golden Boys up next on ESPN 850 WKNR. But I'll tell you this, we're going to continue to break this down because I feel like we just scratched the surface a little bit on this Jacksonville game. We'll also have the opportunity to hear from the coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. We'll get sound from the locker room for you guys as well, see how the Browns have reacted to this as they turn their attention towards. We'll hand out some grades on tomorrow's show as well. Want to thank Kevin Jones for stopping by on the roundtable. Thanks to all of your great callers and Emmett Golden for producing, obviously for Joe Juravicious and Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagura saying thank you for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven
by Liberty Ford.
By Liberty Ford, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Browns going to turn this thing around, folks.